Blog Talk Radio.
For today, brothers and sisters, is entitled The King Alfred Plan. The extermination of blacks in America. One of the things that you should understand, brothers and sisters, before going any further, is I want you to Alright, prepare your psyche. Now, this message is not a spiritual one. This message is not a churchianity kind of thing. This message today is to let you know what's going on in our socio-political environment. Everybody understand me? So kind of gear your head up for that, all right? And understand that I'm going to share some information with you in this message that's very disturbing. Telling you now, it's not meant to depress you, it's meant to make you aware. It's not meant to make you walk out of here feeling like there's no hope. It's meant to make you walk out of here saying, I got to get busy. And informing my brothers and sisters what's really going on. So that we can prepare ourselves for what is coming. The information that I'm going to share with you, personally, I have researched it along with many of my colleagues, and we found a lot of this information in the United States Library of Congress. A lot of this information has finally been declassified after being held away from the masses or kept back from the masses after many years. Because of the satanic, evil, and clandestine objectives contained in this program called the King Alfred Plan, it is imperative, it's necessary that those people whom God has called to be watchmen and watchwomen on the wall alert the people. There's a passage in the scripture that says, woe unto the watchman that sees danger coming and don't say nothing. Because then the blood of the people will be on their hands. But when the watchman on the wall proclaims and cries loud and spares not and lifts up their voice, as the scripture says, as a trumpet in Zion to show the people what's happening, if the people still fall for it, then the blood is off of the watchman's hand. So today, as the watchman on the wall, it's my duty to inform y'all of some stuff that you might not know about. Do my best, Doc. Let's go back in time a little bit. Let's go back approximately 40 years ago. Between the years of 1960 and 1964, an organization called the National Security Council. Have y'all ever heard of that before? I know you have, because we talk about national security memorandums. Well, the National Security Council developed a government program called the King Alfred Plan. This program actually details the arrest, detention, encampment, and extermination of the black and Hispanic or Latino population of this country. No other race of people have had a program written for them but the black, and of course in 1984 it was amended to include the Hispanic population. President Reagan, along with the ex-director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, Louis Gefreda, proposed this amendment in 1984, on April 6th of 1984, and hence you have the additional code name Rex 84. It's important that you understand, brothers and sisters, why this program has been put in place. You need to understand the drastic measures that have been strategically designed for our destruction. Everybody say, policy planning study.
Policy planning study.
Now you may want to write this down so you can go verify it. For short, it's PPS-23. Again, notice the name of this. Policy planning. Policy planning study number 23. This took place, brothers and sisters, in February of 1948. I wasn't even born then. February of 1948, a man by the name of George Kennan, K-E-N-N-O-N, of the State Department planning staff reported, and I quote him, he said, "The United States must devise a pattern of relationships which will permit them to maintain 50% of the world's wealth while only having 6% of the world's population." You've heard me talk about national security memorandums. Well, there's another memorandum that I hadn't told y'all about. It's called National Security Memorandum 200. Now, we talked about 46, which says blacks must never be allowed to unite in this country. Well, National Security Memorandum 200. Write it down. Go look it up. National Security Memorandum 200 was written in 1975. Brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about stuff that just happened within the last few years. I'm talking about a program that has been in place for some time here. In 1975, a man by the name of Henry Kissinger. Have y'all ever heard him? I've heard him before. Yeah, he's been kind of kind of recently in the news. In fact, he's one of Bush's boys. Henry Kissinger stated, and I quote him in National Security Memorandum, he says, quote, "A reduction of the rate of population is a matter of vital United States security, since the United States will require large and increasing amounts of materials from abroad, especially from LDCs." LDC is acronym for less developed countries. And of course, LDCs, you know where they call that? India, Africa. That's where they say the less developed countries are. So they're saying that they will take the materials from the LDCs. It goes on to say, and I quote him, "That fact gives the United States enhanced interest in the political, economic, and social stability of these supplying countries. Wherever," check out what he says, "wherever a lessening of population can increase the prospects of such stability, population policy becomes relevant to sources supplied and to the economic interests of the United States." You want to know who the terrorist is in this world? The United States government. They have been for some time, brothers and sisters. Ex-President James Earl Carter, y'all call him Jimmy Carter, fanned the flames of this program when he issued a directive to Congress on May 23rd, 1977. President Carter ordered that a three-year study on how to reduce the world's population be implemented. This program or study was called Global 2000, the report to the president. I quote from the Global 2000 report, here's what it says. Quote, that there will be zero population growth for the whites on earth by the year 2000. Did y'all hear what I said? Their study said, if we don't do something, there will be zero population growth for white folk by the year 2000. It goes on to say, and in order to preserve the survival of the white race, lands which contain resources that the United States needs must be freed of its population. Brothers and sisters, it's out there in documents, but we are so churchified, we don't know what's going on. In other words, y'all, they were trying to get you to understand. According to their projections, by the year 2000, which was 2 years ago, there was approximately 6.35 billion people on this planet. How many did I just say? 6.35 billion people on this planet. Approximately 5.2 billion were people of color. Y'all hearing this? In less developed countries, the Global 2000 program goes on to state, water will be polluted in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and North Africa to destroy the coastal fisheries. The quote, desertification unit. In fact, they had what was called the United Nations Desertification Conference in 1977. The desertification unit will destroy woodlands in the Sahel region in Africa below the Sahara Desert to increase the destruction of topsoil.
Yes, yes.
Are y'all hearing this? See, y'all, the land is so rich in Africa.
Yes.
You don't have to plant seeds. All you got to do is drop them. And they'll fertilize and take root and grow. So their program is to implement techniques that would destroy the topsoil and promote desert conditions. The people will, goes on to say, the people will have to resort to cow dung and field residue for fuel. Goes on to say another part of the report. Fertility rates will be severely reduced. Doesn't say how though. It just says fertility rate will be severely reduced. Price of food will increase 95%. And Central Africa's food consumption will drop to 20% below the Food and Agriculture Organization standard for survival. Oh, this is really deep. And every $1 increase in the gross national product for less developed countries, for every $1, there will be $20 increase for North America, Western Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and Canada. Now this really blew my mind, y'all, when I was doing this research. It went on to say, weather, not W-H-E-T-H-E-R, W-E-E-A-T-H-E-R, the weather, like outside. The weather will be manipulated to affect production and demand of food exported from other countries. Now you know that's deep. When they've actually developed the technology to cause weather control. Brothers and sisters, look at the person next to you and say, we really need to open our eyes. The report also stated that although the needs of Latin America and Africa could be met, hear this, although the needs of Latin America and Africa could be met in one generation's time, the United States opted for world model number 3, which calls for, now check, this is world model number 3. This is plans, it's already in place. World model number 3, which calls for massive famine in Asia and non-OPEC Africa. OPEC is oil producing, exporting countries. So if it's a country in Africa that really ain't into the oil thing, mass famine will be induced in that country. Think about this, brothers and sisters. 80% of the products currently used in the United States are taken as raw materials from non-white countries. Did y'all hear what I said? 80% of the products that's used by this country is taken out of non-white countries. Now you understand, I hope you do, why there's so much rampant starvation and poverty in so-called third world countries, especially our motherland. When I see them showing little children on television who are starving to death, this is all a part of their program. They create the crisis, they implement the starvation, then show it to you on television, and you send them your money to further finance their program. Ooh, buddy. Let's get back to the King Alfred plan, since you now understand why. You see, brothers and sisters, the point is almost here. Mark my word. The point is almost here that the plans of our white, lily-white government to incite rioting and revolution among blacks and other people of color in the world, the point is almost here where the President of the United States will issue his order for the emergency. The King Alfred plan. You have it in your hands. Let's look at it right quick. Let's see what's going to happen here. They didn't write this, brothers and sisters, without a plan to make it happen. Let me say that one more time. They did not go through the trouble of writing this without a plan to pull it off. The King Alfred plan, the United States of America King Alfred plan, codenamed Rex 84. Here's what it says, and I'm going to read quickly. In the event of widespread and continuing and coordinated racial disturbances in the United States, King Alfred, at the discretion of the president, underline that and then look at the person next to you and say, this is why no black man can be the president. You got to understand, people, this program was written for black people. I don't know what's Secretary of State's name? Colin Powell. I don't know. He seems to be a little disgruntled, but when you got people like that supporting the white agenda, you know, it makes you wonder. They might be able to put somebody who looks black in the Oval Office. It says, at the discretion of the president, King Alfred is to be put into action when? In other words, when the president of the United States, not Congress, not the House, not the Senate, not the House of Representatives, not the Senate, when the president declares this emergency is to be implemented immediately. Participating federal agencies, what are they? National Security Council, what else? Central Intelligence Agency, Federal Bureau of Investigation, Department of Justice, Department of Defense, Department of Interior. Participating state agencies, what are they? National Guard units, state police. Participating local agencies are what? City police and county police, that's right. Now, one of the things you need to understand, brothers, let me make this notation before we read further. In addition to the law enforcement agencies that we just mentioned, in 1982, there was a guy named Oliver North. Y'all heard of him, right? Yeah. Oliver North and Ronald Reagan got together, and the two of them amended the King-Alfred Plan. And their amendment became known as RETS 84 because it was signed by Ronald Reagan in 1984. Now, the original plan was signed by Lyndon Baines Johnson, but Ronald Reagan amended it to include the Hispanic population. Originally, it was, what we're going to read, it was just written for blacks. But in 1984, Oliver North and Ronald Reagan amended it to include the Hispanic and Latino population. What's really deep, brothers and sisters, is this. The neo-Nazi groups, this is all a part of the amendment in 1984, the neo-Nazi groups in Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi, along with state militia groups, like the Missouri Militia, the Michigan Militia, the Minnesota Militia, all of these white paramilitary groups that have their training grounds out in the woods and stuff, that y'all, I'm sure y'all know about that, right? I hope you know about that. Well, the amendment in 1984 was written to include them automatically being deputized when the president declares the emergency. And all of these other groups will be deputized by the federal government to round up blacks and Hispanics for encampment. This is not good news, brothers and sisters. I'm not here to make you feel good today. I'm here to make you aware today. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Now, brothers and sisters, if y'all are thinking for a moment that there's going to be worldwide empathy or sympathy for us, don't think that. Now, I'm going to tell you why I say that, y'all, because y'all remember when James Baker was Secretary of State?
Yeah.
Well, James Baker developed a policy with Russia and Canada. These other governments have created what's called a United States European base to exterminate blacks and Latinos in Africa, South America, the East and West Indies, Cuba, and Puerto Rico. I mean, they're working. Why? Why? Why are we targeted? Think about that. Let's finish reading the memo here. Memo from the National Security Council. Y'all see it? Notice what it says. Even before 1954, when the Supreme Court of the United States of America declared unconstitutional separate educational and recreational facilities, racial unrest and discord had become very nearly a part of the American way of life. But that way of life was repugnant to most Americans. Since 1954, however, that unrest and discord have broken out into widespread violence, which increasingly have placed the peace and stability of the nation in dire jeopardy. This violence has resulted in loss of life. Y'all remember the riots in the 60s, right? Okay, this violence has resulted in loss of life, limb, and property, and has cost the taxpayers of this nation billions of dollars, and the end is not yet in sight. This same violence has raised the tremendously grave question as to whether the races can ever live in peace with each other. Each passing month has brought new intelligence. Now check this out. That despite new laws passed to alleviate the condition of the minority still is not satisfied. Now who y'all think the minority is here? Black folk, right. Demonstrations and rioting have become a part of the familiar scene. Troops have been called out in city after city across the land, and our image as a world leader severely damaged. Our enemies press closer, seeking the advantage, possibly at a time during one of these outbreaks of violence. The minority has adopted an almost military posture to gain its objectives, which are not clear to who? To most Americans. Now, in other words, look at the person next to you and say, evidently, the minority and Americans are two different groups of people. In this document, anyway, when it says the minority has adopted an almost military posture, they're talking about the organization like the Black Panther Party. You follow what I'm saying? The Black Panthers stood out there in L.A. with shotguns and handguns and stood face to face with the police department saying, we ain't gonna have this here. That was adopting a military posture, and they had to do something about it. It's expected, therefore, that, now check this out, when those objectives are denied the minority, what does it say, people? Racial war must be considered inevitable. Now here we go, here we go. Read this with me. When that emergency comes, we must expect the total involvement of all 22 million members of the minority, men, women, and children. For once this project is launched, its goal is to terminate once and for all the minority threat to the whole of the American society and indeed the free world. That's some serious programming. Now, of course, it says 22 million members, y'all, and that's because that was the amount of blacks in the country back in the early 60s. You take it applied to today, it's a lot more. Chairman, National Security Council. Next memo, preliminary memo from the Department of Interior. Under King Alfred, the nation has been divided into what?
10 regions
this country's been divided into for the purpose of implementing their plan. In case of emergency, notice what it says. Minority members. What people?
Minority
members. Now again, this has been amended in 1984 to also include Hispanics now and white sympathizers. Minority members would be evacuated from the cities by federalized National Guard units, local and state police, and if necessary, by regular units of the armed forces using public and military transportation. Read it now. What does it say? And detained in nearby military installations until a further course of action has been decided. Brothers and sisters, in case y'all did not know, June 27, 1988, George Bush Sr. What date did I just say?
June 27th, 1988,
George Bush Sr. signed a document, an order proposing that military bases be turned into prisons. Look at the person next to you and say, there is a plan in place. It goes on to say, but the 10 regions are 1, the Capital Region, 2, Northeast Region, 3, Southeast Region, 4, Great Lakes Region, 5, South Central Region, 6, Deep South Region, 7, Deep South Region 2. Must be a lot of black folk in the Deep South, huh, y'all? 8, Great Plains. Plains, Rocky Mountain region, 9 Southwest region, 10 West Coast region. No attempt will be made to seal off the Canadian and Mexican borders, Secretary, Department of the Interior. Oh man, over the page. Combined memo from the Department of Justice. Now here's where it starts really getting specific, people. Federal Bureau of Investigation, see FBI and CIA. I know this ain't supposed to come from the pulpits, but I've got to tell the truth. This is why we in the shape we in. Because our pulpits are the main vehicle for keeping our people asleep. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Once the pulpits start teaching the truth, well, I know pulpits can't do it, but the people who stand behind the pulpit, once we start making our people aware, maybe we'll kind of empower ourselves. Maybe we'll say as a people, I can't just sit idly by anymore. There are 12 major minority organizations, and all are familiar with the 22 million. Dossiers or files have been compiled on the leaders of these organizations and can be studied in Washington. Check out this part, y'all. The material contained in many of the dossiers and our threat to reveal that material has considerably held in check some of the leaders. What does that mean? That means when they have dirt on the leaders and the leaders decide they want to get out of hand, they start releasing some of that dirt to the public to put those leaders back in check. How many of y'all remember not too very long ago, they had this video clip on television of Al Sharpton making a drug deal. Y'all remember that? Now, y'all know how old that is? That goes all the way back to the mid-80s. They had that clip all this time. All this time, but now the brother's trying to be more vocal for his people, and what did they do? Release some of that dirt. Brother done got quiet now. Yeah, buddy, that's how they hold our leaders in check. Leaders who do not have such usable material in their dossiers have been approached to take government posts, mostly as ambassadors, and primarily in African countries. Y'all remember when Martin Luther King got shot? Andy Young was standing right there on the balcony with them. And right after King got shot, what did they do? They made Andrew Young a United Nations ambassador. That's how they buy our leaders, people. The man was standing right there next to King. If anybody should have been a vocal advocate for what was going on, it should have been Andy Young. But Andy became a good boy. Became an ambassador. Look at the person next to you and say, it's bad when people are for sale. Let's make it even better. Let's say it's bad when our leaders are for sale. You see, brothers and sisters, the promise of these positions have also materially contributed to a temporary slowdown of minority activities. And it goes on to say, however, we do not expect these slowdowns to be of long duration. Why not? Because there are always new and dissonant elements joining these organizations. In other words, what they're saying is young folk are coming along. And they have a whole new paradigm. They have a whole new energy to deal with us. So what we must do is address them too. All organizations and their leaders are under what? Constant 24-hour surveillance. The organizations are, read them with me. One, the Black Muslim. Why y'all think the Nation of Islam is the top of the list? Think about it. What organization out here has addressed and fought racism as strong as the Nation of Islam? What organization in this country has done more for the resurrection of the black man than the Nation of Islam? Not one. The black church sure enough hasn't done it. In fact, the black church is the reason why the black man is in the condition he's in. You think about it, y'all, the black church is not designed for the empowerment of the black man. The black church is designed to excite black women. That's why in black church music is so important. Brothers don't want to hear all that stuff. Don't get me wrong, we ain't that we don't like music, but brothers just ain't into all that emotion. And if you notice, most of the time when people are getting involved, it's sisters standing up and clapping. Brothers are sitting there saying, "Oh, I'm waiting for you to feed this." Brothers are not into feeling good. Not that we don't want to feel good, but that's not our agenda. And the black church is about emotionalism. The black church is about how do you feel when you come out of the wilderness. Yeah. Now, y'all know it's the truth. They ain't asking what did you know when you come out of the wilderness. It's how do you feel when you come out. Oh, shucks. Black Muslims. 2, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, also known as SNCC. 3, Congress of Racial Equality. 4, the Uhuru Movement. 5, Group on Advanced Leadership, or GOAL. 6, Freedom Now Party. 7, United Black Nationalists of America. 8, the New Pan-African Movement. 9, Southern Christian Leadership Conference. 10, the National Urban League. 11, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. 12, Committee on Racial and Religious Progress. And I've added another one, y'all. 13, the African Village Center. Yeah, I had to put that there. Note, at the appropriate time, underline those words, y'all. At the appropriate time. What does that tell you? That this thing is still in the works. At the appropriate time to be designated by the president, the leaders of some of these organizations are to be detained. When though? Oh. Only when it is clear that they cannot prevent the emergency. Can I give you a real live example of what I'm talking about? In other words, the next time y'all decide to sit down on Route 70, okay, and they bring their Pied Piper in here, all right, to lead y'all,
all right, all right,
if he is not having an effect, then he's no more good to them. But if they can bring their boy in here and sit down with y'all, and then say, "All right, y'all, let's get up and go get in the paddy wagon, because we made our point." And then the whole thing only lasts a good 20 minutes. That leader is still effective for their cause. Look at the person next to you and say, "We've got to learn how to stop allowing them to manipulate us with our illegitimate leaders." Am I making sense, people? I know this message is not going to be liked, but I got to tell it. I got to tell it. I'm tired of seeing them send their puppets in here talking good. And that's what they do every day. They just fly all over the country getting arrested. They come here to St. Louis today, lead y'all into a game, get a phony arrest, fly out with their FBI escort, and go in Baltimore tomorrow and do the same thing. How many people you... Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. I'm sorry for busting y'all's bubble. Gotta tell you like it is. It goes on to say, all other leaders are to be detained at once. In other words, the leaders that ain't for sale. Compiled list of minority leaders have been readied at the National Data Computer Center. It is necessary to use the minority leaders designated by the president. I gotta walk now. Y'all see that? Minority leaders that the president designated. Look at the person next to you and say, "So what good are they?"
It's necessary to use them in much the same manner in which we use minority members who are agents of the Central Intelligence Agency and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And we cannot, until there is no alternative, reveal King Alfred with all its aspects. In other words, I ain't supposed to be standing up here telling y'all about this. You're not supposed to know about this. You see, brothers and sisters, the only way to prevent a conspiracy is to expose it. Notice the next sentence, y'all. Minority members of Congress will be unseated at once. Uh-oh. You mean Maxine Waters? She's a sister who speaks out for us. And the law has been written that when the president declares this emergency, so what, Maxine, you just another N-I-G-G-E-R. Conyers, you just another N-I-G-G-E-R. When the president decides that y'all got to go, all of y'all out of here. That's the law, people, signed by the president of the United States. Let's go on to the next memo because I'm running way out of time. From the Department of Defense, this memo is being submitted in lieu of a full report from the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That is from the DOD now, Department of Defense. That report is now in preparation. There will be many cities where the minority will be able to put into the street a superior number of people with a desperate and dangerous will. Look at the person next to you saying, that's because we got a lot of black folk. He will be a formidable enemy, for he is bound to the continent by heritage and knows that political asylum will not be available to him in other countries. Why not? Because they done worked it out, y'all, to where you got to get their permission to leave this country now. No passport, you ain't going nowhere. In the case of a national emergency, boom, all passports are suspended. How you going to get out of the country? I got a passport, so? You think you got an important document, that's a D. That's just their permission for you to go. Goes on to say, the greatest concentration of the minority is in the Deep South, the Eastern Seaboard, the Great Lakes region, and the West Coast. Now, while the national population exceeds that of the minority by more than 10 times, we must realistically take into account the following. One, an estimated 40-50% of the white population will not, for various reasons, engage the minority during an emergency. Reason why the white folk ain't gonna try to get out there in the street and engage us is because they know they ain't gonna win. No. They'll get out there in the street and they'll see Shaka Zulus everywhere. And they ain't gonna... No. They don't want that. Number two, American armed forces are spread around the world. A breakout of war abroad means fewer troops at home to handle the emergency. Three, local law enforcement officials must contain the emergency until help arrives, though it may mean fighting a superior force. New York City, for example, has a 25,000-man police force. Well, now it's more like 55,000. And there are about 1 million minority members in the city. We are confident that the minority would hold any city it took for how long, though? Only a few hours. Why? Because the lack of weapons, facilities, logistics all put the minority at a final disadvantage. Now notice this next part. Before we even read this next paragraph, say this with me. Black folk don't belong in the military. Now I know it's real good when you get in there and they give you room and board and everything, and you know, you stay in there and do your time and they take care of you for the rest of your life, supposedly. But you know, especially now? Especially now? No, and I'm going to tell you, we're getting ready to read why right now. Notice what it says. Since the Korean War, this department has shifted minority members of the armed forces to areas where combat is most likely to occur, with the aim of eliminating through combat as many combat trained military servicemen as possible. Why is that? They can't afford to have combat military trained black folk on the streets here. There's a movie I encourage y'all to get called The Spook Who Sat By the Door. It's about a black man who, the first black man who became a member of the Central Intelligence Agency. And after he learned all of their skills and training, he resigned, went back to the black community, and taught all those skills to the brothers in the hood. He was a dangerous human being. They couldn't figure out where all this mess was coming from. They thought another nation had launched clandestine war against the United States. And it was brothers in the community who had learned the covert activities that the United States government had trained his brother. Today, the ratio of minority member combat deaths in Vietnam, of course, this was again written back in the 60s, where they are serving as advisors, is twice as high as the minority population ratio to the rest of America. Now, here it gives a timetable for how this plan is to be implemented. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you can even get your mind to fathom what I'm about to tell you. But here they have this thing so organized that they actually got it worked out to how they can actually round up, arrest, and detain and incarcerate all of the black people in this country in an 8-hour period. Notice what it says. Number one, local police and minority leaders in action to head off the emergency. In other words, those hand-picked leaders by the president, first thing they do, they send them in, try to get black folk to stand down. You know, now don't try to go in and tell them, don't tell them you came in there to stop them. Go on and let them march a couple of blocks. Yeah, let them march a couple of blocks. Let them sit down on the highway for 20 minutes. But then cause them to stand down. Lead them into the paddy wagons. Or talk to them and say, all right, y'all, it's time for us to go now. Two, countdown to 8 hours begins at the moment the president determines the emergency to be national, coordinated, and it's going to last a while. Three, county police join local police. That's the 7th hour. 6th hour, state police join county and local police. 5th hour, federal marshals join state, county, and local forces. 4th hour, National Guard units are federalized and held in readiness. Now, down to the 3rd hour now. Regular armed forces alerted, take up position. Now notice this, highlight this part. Minority troops divided and detained. Y'all see this? In other words, yeah, you in the Army, you in the Marines, with your M16. But when the President declares an emergency, we're going to take your M16 from you, even though you done went and got almost gave your life for this country. When the President declares an emergency and it's time to round up all these black folk and put them in some of these storage facilities. Until we decide what we're going to do with them. Y'all, why do you think they're building all these storage facilities? Y'all ain't got that much stuff to put in storage. Come on, y'all. Hey! Storage facilities with running water. What boxes need with running water?
Oh, man.
Minority troops divided and detained along with all white sympathizers under guard. Down to the 2nd hour. All minority leaders, national and local, detained. Why is it that they want to detain the leaders? You know? Why just the leaders? Now, they ain't round up all of our people yet, just the leaders. 9. president goes on national radio and television and tells black folk and Hispanic, y'all got 1 hour to stand down.
All right.
They don't listen, down to 0 hours, all units under regional command into the emergency. Engage. Now, here's a note. Zero committee report. And this was called the Zero Committee. And of course, talking about zero population. Survey shows that during a 6-year period, production created 9 million objects. What in the world is that? Or 1.5 million each year. Production could not dispose of the containers, which proved a bottleneck. However, that was almost 20 years ago. And remember, this was done in 64. 20 years before 64 is 44. 1944, 1943, 1944. That's when the Holocaust took place, y'all, in Nazi Germany.
Yes.
And what happened was the furnaces that Hitler used to burn these people weren't hot enough.
Right.
So when they start throwing the bodies in the furnaces, the bodies weren't burning up fast enough, and it caused the furnaces to get clogged up. So notice what this report says. We suggest that vaporization techniques be employed to overcome the production problems inherent in King Alfred. What does that mean? Well, as a result of this recommendation, they began to build what we call high volume or nuclear-powered trash incinerators. And these incinerators burn 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Y'all listen, steel, depending on the kind of steel it is, melts between 2,600 and 2,700 degrees. Now, steel will melt at that temperature. Why do you need a incinerator that burns 5,000 degrees? So that the furnaces don't get clogged up again. When they take those people who they detained and gas them, put them to sleep, Lord have mercy, put them on these conveyor belts that roll into this furnace, as soon as they get in there, poof. Now I know it's not good news. Preacher, I didn't come here to feel sad today. Hey, if you don't know, you're going to really feel sad. Because the biblical text says it this way, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Don't say it can't happen, people. Don't say it can't, because on February 21st, 1942, Executive Order 9066 was implemented. And on February 21st, 1942, every Japanese American in this country was arrested and detained. And the law stated if they were 1/16th Japanese, they were to be locked up too. When the Japanese, you know, the war, World War II. Don't say it can't be done. But see, Japanese got sense. We bombed Japan. Now Japan owns us. Isn't that deep? 60 years later, Japan is one of the richest countries in the world. They own more property in this country than anybody else. They didn't walk around with a sign saying, we shall overcome. Japanese didn't do that. Japanese said, I tell you what we're going to do. They bombed us. We're going to send our children to their schools. Now you go into hospitals and look at the majority of the doctors. Majority of the doctors are now Korean slant-eyed doctors. Yeah, buddy. What I'm sharing with y'all, brothers and sisters, is a reality. I'm giving you this information, and there's a whole lot more that I can give you here. But what you must understand is the most important point here is that your government is depending on you being ignorant. Did y'all hear what I said? They're counting on our ignorance to implement their program. I'm not going to let that happen to the best of my ability. I'm going to tell it. I used to say that when I was growing up. I'm going to tell it everywhere I go. And I was, and that was a lie I was talking about. I'm going to tell it if don't nobody want to hear it. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to, you know, a friend of mine used to say, I got to preach, you know. And we used to say that, you know, I'm going to tell it. And, you know, think about that, man. I was committed to the promotion of that lie. Now I got to be as committed to the promotion and dispensing of the truth that will set my people free. You got to be committed as well. Government is counting on your ignorance. And see, they want y'all to fight back. That's what they want. See, the sooner you fight back, the quicker it gives them an excuse to declare a national emergency. You understand what I'm saying? They've been stockpiling weapons, y'all. In fact, y'all remember I told y'all about the VMAS project?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, do y'all not know now that every major police department has a VMAS unit now? For those who don't know, VMADS stands for Vehicle Mounted Anti-Denial System. It's a weapon now that's mounted on top of the Hummers in police departments, and it's the actual microwave beam. So in other words, now all I got to do is see a crowd of black folk, aim the beam toward the people, and pull the trigger. And it sends a microwave beam into those crowds, that crowd of black folk. And what's really deep about it is the black folk are standing there and they start burning, cooking from the inside out, just like a microwave oven. But you can't run because you don't know what direction the beam is coming from, because it's invisible. It's called, don't take my word for it, it's called VMADS. Look it up, go verify it. They didn't make VMADS for white people. They will never use a VMADS in Leduc. They'll use it in North St. Louis, though. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Now, what can we do? I know this is going to sound a little flimsy as I close. What can we do? Look at the person next to you and say, first thing is learn how to pray. You see, y'all might not believe in prayer, but let me tell you something. Prayer is a powerful tool. Prayer will give you guidance and wisdom, because when you pray, you, number one, you quiet yourself. You humble yourself and you perk up your ears to hear what God has to say to you, either through the Spirit of God in you or through the voice of your ancestors. I'm a firm believer, brothers and sisters, that God is not going to allow his people, those who will hear, to meet with extermination. We have come through too much. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And we're still here. We are the number one wonder of the world. Not the pyramids. We are. Pyramids was the number one wonder, but see, they're trying to, you know, we're still here to tell about the pyramids. We ain't supposed to be here to tell about them. We're supposed to be gone by now so they could claim the pyramids as theirs. And here we still are. So I'm giving y'all this information today because I love you. I love your children. I love our future. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Ephesians 5 and 11 says these words, and I close. Ephesians 5 and 11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Y'all got that? So when I see the deeds of darkness that's been designed for the elimination of our people, my job is to expose that which will bring genocide and destruction to our people. It might mean the difference between your children living or dying.